Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant McCauley is our Braves expert and, of course, Braves insider. And he joins us this morning on the WaveForward.com hotline to talk about all these big headlines. Hey, Grant.
Good morning, guys.
Grant, you know, Grant, listen, I just want to tell you, I am so happy to be talking to you because out of all the Braves fans, and I know the diehard Braves fans that I know, you are the only level-headed one.
Oh, stop.
That talks to me about baseball in a way where, you know, you're not too high, you're not too low, you're always in the middle. So at this point, are you pleased with the split in the next two games, or do you feel like you need to win both?
No, I still feel like, you know, you want to win the series. There's just no two ways around that. But if you're going to get to a place where you have a chance to win the series and you've got Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom waiting for you in games three and four, games one and two were where you needed to make things happen, and that's exactly what the Braves have done. They've outscored the Mets 18-1. The Braves, a team that's known for striking out, is not striking out much. Meanwhile, a team like the Mets, which is not known for striking out, is doing exactly that. So a lot of things have gone right for the Braves in the first couple of games, but I can tell you right now, nobody's taking a victory lap, and even when the series is over, if they win it, they're not going to take a victory lap because there's a lot of baseball left to be played. But if you wanted to script the start to this series for exactly what the Atlanta Braves needed, I would say the first two games are a pretty good example of what that script could look like.
Well, certainly, Grant, there are so many headlines that it's pick a headline, so I'm just going to pick one. Mike Soroka at Advanti Health Field last night, four innings pitched, first three innings, nine batters, eight strikeouts. Tell me what you think, and tell me what you think about how a timeline might look for him.
Well, the timeline, I think, is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of as close to that 30-day window as they have with that rehab assignment. And the fact that he threw 45 pitches over four innings and was peppering the strike zone, picking up all those strikeouts, and, you know, this guy has had a long road back and has put a lot of work into it, I'm not going to rule it out. I think you've just had to kind of temper my expectations because of what he's had to go through on his road to try to get back to the Braves. But it would be nothing finer than seeing Mike Soroka pitching meaningful innings for the Braves in 2023. And right now, that's something that's out there on the table. But this was the first step in that process. You know, you want to see him get built up, I would assume, to somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 80 pitches by the time he's done with his rehab assignment so that he can come in and you feel like this is the guy they're rehabbing to start. There is no Mike Soroka to the bullpen plan that I'm aware of. So this is the role that he's been in and will be in, and that's what his – you know, overall trajectory is. So you just got to get that pitch count built up. And once that's there, if these results are anything close to what Mike Soroka showed in that first one, and of course anything close to what he's shown in his young major league career, this would be a very nice boost to have sometime in early to mid-September.
You know, speaking of roles, and we were talking about this morning, we were kicking around rather quite a bit, Marcell Ozuna in the DH role, do you think that he deserves another shot at that, or is it, you know, highly likely that he might not be the DH moving forward?
You know, I was talking to a former player yesterday about that and just the fact that, you know, how much more at this point of the season, you know, did you need to see or have you seen enough to know that, you know, he just kind of is who he is at this point. And who he is a guy that pops the occasional home run but can't get on base at a good enough clip. You can't afford to play him in the field because of the defensive liabilities. So you're kind of stuck with him as a DH if you're going to use him. But at this point, I feel like as you try to chase down a team like the Mets and really get your team clicking on all cylinders heading towards October, does he give you the best chance to win? And I don't feel like the answer to that question too many days is yes. And the fact that, you know, the Braves have Eddie Rosario, who I know is a little bit dinged up, but has been playing left field regularly. They went out and got Robbie Grossman. And they've got William Contreras, who they can put in the DH spot as well. I just don't know how you can look at your options and say, well, this is Marcell Ozuna's job right now, and I think that's kind of just the reality of the situation. But the other thing about that conversation that I had was, you know, as soon as you make a plan and you feel like, hey, I know exactly how this is going to go, sometimes things change. And, you know, it's a bit of a wake-up call for a veteran player like that to be sitting there watching for days on end and no longer have that opportunity. So he might still have a role to play. I won't rule it out. Stranger things have happened, but when you look at just the production and the value that they need out of that spot, Marcell Ozuna has had a long time this year to try to show the Braves something, and there just has not really been a lot there anywhere close to the production that you would expect out of a player with his credentials when you look at his career stats.
Okay, well, listen, Grant about to make you the GM because we were kicking this around.
No,
this
please don't.
Well, for the sake of this conversation, we have to because, like I said, you're the only one that I talk to on a regular that is like
yeah. It's my initials too, so there you
go. So, do you roll Marcell Ozuna? Would you roll him out in the next two games or in the Houston series, or when would you feel comfortable putting him back out there to see what he could potentially give you?
Personally, I've seen everything that I need to see to know exactly who he is this year at that point. And I feel like you just have to be realistic about it. As much as, you know, they're paying him, the fact that he has gotten as many at-bats as he had this year tells you that, you know, they've tried to get what they can out of him, knowing that, yes, he's under a long-term contract. But a couple of years ago, this was a big-time player for you, but he has not been that player at any point this year. The occasional home run is nice. He has gotten a couple of big hits. He's been involved in a couple of rallies to help the Braves win games. I don't want to pretend like he's done absolutely nothing this year, but there have just been so many games and so many weeks where he's absent. And when the runs aren't being produced from a guy that's your designated hitter, and you look at the overall statistics across all 30 teams, and you're in the bottom five in just about every possible run scoring and you know, any metric you want to look at, I feel like you have to look at your other options. And I think that's where the Braves have kind of gotten here. And this is crunch time, you know, and I feel like that has to be play your best players, play the guys that are hot, ride the hot hand, whatever you want to call it. But that's what the Braves have to look at in that spot.
You know what, Grant? I was about to ask you another question, but I think you've kind of already answered that for me because I was about to ask you, would he be on the playoff roster? But with that strong response that you had after
not on my playoff roster,
I got a strong feeling that he probably won't be on the playoff roster if you were the GM.
Well, I would not be surprised by that as an outcome. Again, I feel like this is, you know, this is crunch time, and this is the time where you've got to have the best team that you can put out there on the field and the guys that give you the best chance to win. And with what Vaughn Grissom has done as well,
right,
with the return of Ozzie Albies, I mean, you've got to find a bat for that kid if he continues to hit, and he has not shown that he's slowing down in this first week. Now, I will also say the first week of one's major league career can go extremely well, and there will be an adjustment period, and there will be all those things that every player goes through. But if you're just looking talent-wise and production-wise, I think there's some decisions that are tough for teams to make. But, you know, if the Braves are looking at it the way that I believe that they're looking at it, you've got to go with a guy to give you the best chance to win.
Alex Anthopoulos, Grant, plays three-dimensional chess. He always has. 8 years, $72 million for a guy that's played 71 games was not on my Braves bingo card this year. Glad it's on his. Huh. How surprised were you with the Michael Harris deal?
I mean, I wasn't shocked, but I was surprised that it came together, you know, as quickly as it did, and it was a pleasant surprise. And, you know, there's a lot of, I think, reaction when guys look at, or when fans look at, you know, these guys signing these deals very young in their career, and, you know, how can the club, you know, get these deals done? Well, if you really look at the way that things break down, say Michael Harris, for example, you know, over the next 3 years, he's basically making the league minimum salary. So that's about $1.6 million, something like that. So then you go into arbitration. You're probably making somewhere in the $6-8 million range the first year, 10 to 12, maybe 14 in the second year, and maybe around 20 the third year. So the math that I did shows him making somewhere in the $30 to 40-ish million range over the next 6 years. Or you could sign an 8-year, $72 million guaranteed deal with a couple of options that could kick it up over $100 million. And that, I think, is where that deal comes together. It makes a ton of sense for the player for financial security. It makes a ton of sense for the team as far as the cost certainty that you have. And it aligns with everything else that the Braves have built up. So I do feel like this is a deal that, if you really start to, you know, dissect it and look at it from all the angles, makes a lot of sense for the team, makes a lot of sense for the player, and allows Atlanta to build this core where they've got Austin Riley and Matt Olson and Ronald Acuna Jr. and Ozzie Albies and Michael Harris now locked up for the foreseeable future. And then a lot of their younger players are under team control through 2027, 2028. I mean, this is a pretty good place to be for a Braves fan as they build this core, keep it around, and continue to add pieces to it. And this is just the latest in a long line of deals that has helped the Braves really build a foundation of a winning team they want to have for a long time.
Grant, play a little three-question pitching rapid-fire with me. Max Fried, when is he back?
Okay. He'll be back by the end of the week is the plan. I saw him throwing yesterday, asked Brian Snitker about it after his throwing session. He said he expects Max to pitch by this weekend.
How concerned are you about Kyle Wright's tired arm?
Not at all. Kyle Wright said yesterday he feels fine, just kind of something he went through in this last start, and he feels ready to go now, and we could see him potentially tomorrow.
The pre-arbitration guys on this team have been the story of the season. So phenomenal. We touched on a number of them. The latest is Freddie Tarnock. Tell me a little bit about him.
Freddie Tarnock is a guy that, you know, they've always liked the upside with him. And he was an infielder in his high school days and got on the mound. And the last couple of years, he's really had an uptick in velocity. He's got a couple of nice breaking balls, can throw a changeup as well. I kind of thought he might profile as a reliever, but they've kept him in that starting role and been rewarded for that. Last couple of years, you know, he's hitting in the mid-90s. That's where his fastball's sitting. He's added a slider to that curveball, so I think that that's something that will definitely play at the big league level when you got a couple of different breaking ball looks. And, of course, if you're a starter, I think you need to have a changeup. It's just a helpful pitch to have. But 210 punch-outs in 162 innings the last couple of years, you can tell why his prospect stock has been rising and why the Braves are excited to perhaps get a look at him now, and if not right now for a role for him, that there could be one in the future, because this is a guy with a lot of arm talent.
All right, we see if we're in the Mets' heads tonight with Max Scherzer on the mound and DeGrom tomorrow. Let's see if we can close this gap and make this thing uncomfortable for them and win this thing again. Thanks, Grant.
We shall see. Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.